In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Rain down, O heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Their voice is gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Rain down, O heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. Heavenly Father, it is meet and right that we should give thanks unto thee, that thou hast given us a more glorious baptism than that of John the Baptist, and hast therein promised us the remission of sins, the Holy Spirit, and everlasting life through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Preserve us, we beseech thee, in such faith in thy grace and mercy, that we may never doubt thy promise, but be comforted by the same in all temptations, and grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may renounce sin, and ever continue in the righteousness bestowed upon us in baptism, until by thy grace we obtain eternal salvation, through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday of Advent is found in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 15th through the 19th verse. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Yes. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name.
The epistle lesson is found in the fourth chapter of Philippians, the fourth through the seventh verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is found in the first chapter of John, the 19th through the 28th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent from him were from the Pharisees. Sent to him were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends the Gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 63. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is the Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer, amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, in this, our final week of Advent, we make ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into human flesh, and it is right and fitting that the closer that Christ draws near, the more we turn our attention to Christ. Our gospel lesson today tells us of John and his ministry for this very reason, because the ministry of John was entirely about Christ. John is the model preacher, the one man whom Jesus holds up above all others for this very reason, because he could no more speak at all without speaking about Christ. This is quite different than the kind of preaching you hear today. The preaching that the world loves to hear is that which avoids Christ entirely. Preaching where the preacher preaches maybe all about himself or about his audience. God only calls preachers to proclaim his Son. Yet as much blame as such preachers might have for abandoning their office, which God gave them, it is the hearers who are even more to blame, who keep praising such preaching as good Christian preaching, who attend and support and listen to it because that is what they like to hear. This kind of thinking is so ingrained in us that even though we know better, we too are ready to praise the pastor for preaching an excellent sermon when he uses good illustrations, or he doesn't stumble over his words, or he makes a few really good points. The trouble is not that he might have done well in preaching so, but that none of this matters unless he preaches Jesus, and Jesus only. Wherever Jesus is preached, sinners are being called to repentance. Wherever Jesus is properly preached, the sins of the penitent are forgiven. Wherever Jesus is rightly preached, our right response is to hear his voice and repent of our sins and to believe Jesus' words. It is with just such a goal in mind that the Apostle John begins to write about the preaching and ministry of John the Baptist. You have already heard Matthew and Mark and Luke and know about the build-up, the announcement of John's birth, his leaping in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Jesus' mother, the prophecy sung by John's father, Zacharias. John, however, jumps to what matters the most. What did John the Baptist confess? What was his testimony, his witness? The gospel writer takes us right to that point in the ministry where the Jews in Jerusalem finally decided that they could no longer ignore this preacher out in the wilderness, because thousands from Jerusalem and all the land of Judea were flocking to the wilderness to hear him. John says that the Jews sent these people because that's the term that he uses to describe the authorities of the Jews, meaning the Sanhedrin, together with the high priest, rather than, for example, saying the Romans. That is why it is specifically priests and Levites. Specifically, they were all Pharisees who come and question John. The Jewish authorities sent the experts to investigate the latest prophet. But despite their credentials, these men were very bad at their job. You would think that they would be there to determine the most important thing, namely, what does this preacher preach? But no, they really don't seem to care about that at all. Instead, they ask, "Who are you, John?" As if that's all that mattered. As if all they cared about was the preacher himself. But John is not there to preach himself, but Christ. And so he responds by identifying himself in relation to Christ. He says, "I am not the Christ." Now, they did not ask him if he was the Christ, and nobody probably suspected he claimed to be. But John would rather speak to them of Christ than of himself. How could it be otherwise? His entire purpose in life is to declare Christ, to prepare Israel to receive Christ. What a poor herald of Christ he would be if he did not actually herald Christ. And what an even worse herald he would be if he actually claimed to be Christ. But what a fine example he sets when at every opportunity he proclaims the name of the coming one, Jesus Christ, even when his questioners were only interested in John himself. If John must declare, "I am not the Christ," then how much more must you declare the same thing? Now, of course, who really thinks they are Christ, except, of course, for false prophets or cult leaders? Oh, a few people would claim to actually be Christ, but lots of people think that they're better than Christ. Sometimes you have even acted and thought as if you are Christ's better. When you worry about the future, you think that your needs and concerns are greater than Christ himself, as if he has not already seen and provided for your needs. When you forget your sins or are proud enough to think that you've overcome some sin only to have it turn around and bite you back again, you've made yourself the equal to Christ, as if you are able to overcome sin just as he did. But you are not Christ. You are not the Savior, but the sinner. You are not the one who hears confession, but the one who confesses. You are not the one who grants grace and mercy, but the one who receives it. What do you have to give to God that he has not first given to you? You did not make yourself a Christian. Christ made you so by his Spirit, through his word and through baptism. Therefore, what are you, even if you've done all things well? You are not Christ. If you strive your whole life long to be more than a sinner whom Christ has saved, you will fail. And so stop trying to be Christ and instead be glad to be the sinner whom Christ has redeemed. But the representatives of the Jewish leaders are not satisfied with John's answer. They want to hear about John, and so they persist. "Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" And to both of these questions, John answers no. He comes in the spirit and power of Elijah, as Malachi foretold, but he is not Elijah reincarnated. He proclaims the prophet whom Moses said would come, but he is not that prophet. You see, these people did not even realize that when our Old Testament lesson this morning was in, when Moses was speaking of the prophet, that he was speaking of Christ. Rather than see Christ in all the scriptures, they saw him only here or there. All of these questions get nowhere with John. And finally, the priests and Levites become frustrated and they demand that John say something about himself. "What do you say about yourself so that we have an answer to give to those who sent us to you?" And so John gives them something about himself, something prophesied by Isaiah, no less. He says, "I am the voice preaching in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord." Oh, isn't that wonderful? He cites the one passage concerning his own ministry that says nothing about him and forces the questioners to deal with what he preaches. After all, if John is but a voice, if that is all he claims to be, then there is nothing that they can do with him. They have to listen to what he says. They have to learn of Christ, whose way John prepared. Oh, that Christ were enough for the itching ears of our generation. But as it is was in John's day, it is still so today, that the preaching of Christ is not enough for people. More than that, it is despised, not only in the world, but also in Christian churches. if Christ were not despised, if every preacher and everyone claiming the name Christian knew what it was that they receive when they hear the preaching of Christ, know what it was that they had already received in their own baptisms, then that here is the mercy of God, the complete and full pardon of your sins, rescue from the fires of hell, adoption into the household of God Himself, with an eternal inheritance as God's own children, then you could not build enough churches nor train enough pastors fast enough to receive the millions who would come flooding in. But Satan has had his day. And we live in an age of apostasy, the days prophesied by Amos in chapter 8, verse 11, that there would not be a famine of bread, but of hearing the word of God, so that even though there are Bibles in every bookstore and churches every several blocks, the preaching of Christ is so rare that you must search long and hard to find it. And when you do, more often than not, it is in a struggling church with little to offer but Christ, when all that such a church can do is continue to preach and baptize and give out the Lord's Supper so that those who treasure these heavenly gifts look beyond the external poverty and lowliness of the handmaiden of the Lord, His church on earth, and through them see the riches of heaven itself. But meanwhile, the world looks at such preaching and at the sacraments, and they say, why are you even doing this? And so the priests and Levites ask John, why do you baptize? You are not Christ or Elijah or that prophet. You see, it was not that John baptized that these people found so objectionable, for they had their own ritual washings, and so did many other religions. It was that the power John claimed baptism had, that they found so objectionable. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that John came into the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is what they are asking him. And it is the same question that people ask us today. Why do you baptize? It's not that we baptize children, but why do we baptize at all? For to baptize is to wash someone with water which is in connection with God's word. The baptism of the church would hardly be noting at all if it were nothing but a symbolic and ritual cleansing. The Jews and the Muslims and the Hindus and most religions of the world have their own ritualistic washings, but no one pays them any heed or demands of them why they do such things. But the baptism of John and our baptism still today is a washing of water in and with God's word, wherein the penitent receives the forgiveness of sins, as John himself said. How can you, who are nobody, claim to baptize in that way, that you by it can forgive sins? Yes, that is what John does. And he does this because he is not Christ. He baptizes with water at the command and promise of God, but Christ is even greater than the baptism which he ordained. Baptism applies the forgiveness of sins, but it is Christ himself who paid for sin. You cannot apply what you do not have. And without Christ, there is no baptism. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is nothing, in fact, for John to preach. For why should John preach repentance unless there is also the remission of sins? And how could there be remission of sins without the atonement for sin? And who could atone for sin but Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world? Therefore, John's answer for why then do you baptize is this: because Christ is greater than I, greater even than this baptism which forgives sins. I cannot atone for sin. That takes the Lamb of God. But he has given me baptism, and through it I bring atonement, the atonement of Christ, to the people. Therefore, though I am not worthy to unloose the strap of his sandal, yet I will baptize in his name, so that by this means I can bring sinners to Christ. John baptized because he was not Christ, just as we baptize because we are not Christ. Christ gave us baptism in his word and absolution, so that we here on earth can forgive sins in his name. So we can take what Jesus has done and give it to men. People despise this word and baptism. They think that it is very foolish. If Jesus were not greater than his own baptism, then they would have good reason to question it. But because Jesus himself is the power behind baptism, because he is the Lamb who is slain from the foundation of the world, because he is the one who atoned for sin, because he himself has risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of God the Father, his word and baptism have the power to do everything he says. Because Jesus is Christ and we are not Christ, we can rejoice to be joined to him through our baptism and to have our sins forgiven by his body and blood and to hear his word of absolution and by these means gain all the benefits of Christ himself. If we were Christ, we would not need these things, and they would do us no good. Thanks be to God, therefore, that Jesus is Christ, and we are not. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who hast made all things in heaven and earth to serve thy will and to witness thy glory and goodness, we give thee our humble and joyful thanks for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation thou hast provided for all men in him. With contrite hearts we turn to thee, O Lord. We acknowledge our transgressions and confess that we have failed to do that which we ought to have done, and that we have done the evil which we ought not to have done. Awaken us to our need of daily repentance and renewal. Grant us the remission of our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ and his merits, that we may have that peace which passes all understanding. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Sanctify the words of our lips by the indwelling of Christ our Lord. Perfect in purity and holiness the works of our hands by obedience to thy word. And now in the assurance that thou art near to all who call upon thee in truth, we pray for all men everywhere. Let thy spirit prevail in every home and school, in every shop and store, and in every kind of labor or industry. Show forth thy honor and glory to the nations of the earth. Overthrow all who would hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. Support and preserve all who are persecuted for his name's sake. Be with the homeless, the fatherless, the comfortless, and help them in their affliction to trust in thee,
sending them such deliverance as shall turn their hearts and bring them to a confession of that name which is above every name, Jesus Christ. Make thy face to shine upon the wounded in spirit, the sick in mind, and the distressed in heart. Accompany all who are away from home in any service or calling with thy light and love. Send thine aid and comfort to the captives, the desolate, and those who are in peril of life or soul. Be gracious to the sick and to the aged, those who anguish, the dying, and those who mourn their passing. Lift up thy countenance upon them and give them the perfect peace of thy holy child, Jesus. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we might receive by faith and with thanksgiving the gift that no words can describe, Jesus Christ our Lord. Make our hearts his dwelling place, that we may know the joy of his presence, the blessing of following in his steps, and the glory of that crown which he has promised to all who are his in steadfastness of faith and life. In his name, amen. We sing hymn number 65. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him to be the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath, to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God.
take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Blood of Jesus shed for your sins. And may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh,
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 62.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.